Shalom Aleichem, nice to be back here again. The subject, tonight's lecture, as they call it, I like to call it a shiur, is understanding the role and the sugya of practical bitachin in our lives. The most important subject in a Jew's life is bitachin. It's amazing how the Vilna Gaon, and before him the Talmidei de Rabbeinu Yoina, and Rabbeinu Yoina himself, says that Iker Hakol, the main foundation of everything, is bitach. Now, most people think bitachin is like a kind of a shtick. It's like get out of jail free card. When you're stuck, how do I get bitachin? Tell me, you don't get bitachin when you're stuck. You got to get bitachin before you're stuck. Bitachin is something you have to live with on a daily basis. Every move you take, every action that you make has to be filled with bitachin. And as Rabbeinu Yoina says, it's not enough to know about bitachin, but a person has to be megadel his nefesh. It means he has to develop himself. He has to be machanach himself. He has to educate himself, first in the knowledge of bitachin, and then in the practical application of bitachin. I love it when people call me up and they say, I'm in a very tight spot, my business, my finances. I say, no, what about bitachin? Oh, I got plenty of that. I went to a gvir a number of years ago, told me to please come to his house. He tells me that no one knows this. He was a famous gvir. He said, I'm impoverished. He told me maybe now's the time to mechazik. He said, Amuna bitachin. Don't tell me about Amuna Bitach. That's one thing I've got plenty of. I said, really? You don't sound like it. I said, the definition of Amuna and Bitachin is you feel a menuchas hanefesh. You feel an inner sense of peace. You feel a shalva. You're not worried. Doesn't mean there's no bills. It doesn't mean there's no challenges. But regardless of what you're facing, you have menuchas hanefesh. You don't get lost, you don't lose it. And I said, speaking to you, it seems to me, and he told me that, you're about to have a heart attack. He said, just don't tell anybody. I said, I'm not going to tell anybody. And then he gave me a check. I said, I don't want to take a check from you. You know, he told me I have no money. I'm taking a check for you. Gave me a check anyway. Then he canceled it. I met him a bunch of times since then, my best friend, but he never collapsed, Baruch Hashem. A person has to know what is the education of bitachin. The education of bitachin is predicated on emunah. And that means that there is nothing, absolutely nothing that happens in my life that's not from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam alone. Other people could do nothing. Other people have no say in my life. Other people can affect my life in no way. That is why a person has the menuchas hanefesh, because he knows he's in the hands of Hashem. And Hashem only wants to do my best. Hashem, kol ma'ad avod rachmana is letav of it. And if I acknowledge that, so then I have menuchas hanefesh. Again, it doesn't mean you don't have bills. It doesn't mean the bills aren't piling up. It doesn't mean that you have children when you want to snap your fingers. But if you don't have menuchas hanefesh, you don't have bitachon. Most people are under the impression that bitachon is something, a way and a means for me to get what I want. That's not what bitachon is about. It's not that Hashem tells us, have bitachon, you'll get what you want. Not that that's not what bitachon is. But the mitzvah of bitachon is to rely on Hashem. Now, it's amazing to me how people struggle with having bitachon. I tell people like this, if you met a person, and this person would come to you and he would say, you met a kid, let's say. You met a 13-year-old kid. And you say to him, what are you planning on having for breakfast tomorrow? Whatever I want. He said, how do you know? And my mother usually asks me, what would you like for breakfast? You want pancakes? You want eggs? You want cold cereal? You want hot cereal? What do you want? My mother always asks me. And when I say, she usually delivers. Now, what if you just met a child and the child would exhibit anxiety? He would tell to you, I really don't know what I'm eating for breakfast tomorrow. Maybe there will be nothing in the refrigerator. Maybe my mother will sleep late and not offer me breakfast. Maybe she won't have eggs. Maybe she won't have cereal. Maybe she won't have pancake mix. Maybe she won't have this. So the first thing you would do is try to arrange with the school that kid goes to or his parents to have him see a therapist on an ongoing basis, because that's anxiety condition. That's a condition. That's not normal. Normal kids don't feel like that. Because naturally, in your life, if you relied on your mother every single day, and throughout she's demonstrated and proven to you that she wants to do for you, so you have automatically menuchas hanefesh. It's crazy not to have it. I tell people, Hashem has done for you more than your mother ever dreamed of doing for you. Hashem has done for you more than your mother could have ever done for you. You're b'teach in your mother, not in Hashem. Now, that's a terrible thing. You know whose fault it is? The mother's fault. Because the mother has to tell her child, I don't give you anything. These pancake mix is from Hashem. The eggs are from Hashem. I'm just the waitress. When the waitress comes to your table, what would you like to eat this morning? Sir, you never think that they're giving you that breakfast. You don't rely on that waitress. You understand it's not them at all. They're just a shliach. You have to educate your kids that whatever you have, it's not the clothes you have and going to the doctor, whatever care your mother gives you is only from HaKadosh Baruch. And most people, even though they say they know it, they don't believe it for one second. That's how it is. You know, there's a famous episode in history. A lot of people seem to have missed it. When the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, they were with Hashem. Lech teich achara b'midbar, b'eretz lezerua, mamash Hashem. Hashem said, I remember the chesed nuraya, he came out of Mitzrayim, he didn't ask, where's the food? He didn't ask, where is this? Where is that? You followed me out into the desert. And then you started going away from Mitzrayim. All of a sudden, Hashem gives a message to Pharaoh, to Moshe. Moshe, make a Yui. What? You turn. Bring them all back. Just swing all these 5 million people all around and tell them we're heading back. And where are you going back to? Going back in front of the Avodah Zarah of the whole Egyptians, Baal Tzephon, which was one Avodah Zarah that was still standing there after all the Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim was destroyed. Now, you would think, it's amazing. The Yidden should have stormed. They should have screamed, Hamibli ain't far in Mitzrayim. What are you taking us back for? Why in the world are we going back to Mitzrayim? You know what they said? Rashi brings down. Ein lanu elo divrei ben Amram. Moshe said it. We are following him to then. Moshe knows what he's doing. Moshe knows exactly what he's doing. There's no shaila here. Great betach. Right? Then what happens? All of a sudden, they're standing there camped by, no one understands what's going on with directions. I'm sure there must have been a couple of people on the GPS there. Figured out we're going backwards, we're going in the wrong direction here. But they accepted to follow blindly. Suddenly they pick up their eyes, they look, and they see Paray, 600 chariots coming, bearing down on the Jewish people. And all of a sudden, the Jewish people go nuts. They go nuts. They start going crazy. Why, Amosh, what are you doing? They gather Amosh. Didn't you just say 5 minutes ago, Ein lanu ela divrei ben Amram? What happened to your bitachin? The answer is everybody has bitachin as long as there's no danger. As long as you have money in your bank account, I have bitachin, everything's going to work out. And as long as I'm healthy, I have bitachin, Hashem's going to take care of me. But the second you get a little something in your chest, oy vey, it's me. Now, by rights, I shouldn't have been here today. 2 days ago, I was in yeshiva, second Seder. My wife calls me to come home. I said, what's the matter? She says, I have a problem. I don't feel good. My chest, something is wrong. My back, I have a pain going through my back. It's not pushing. And there's what to be concerned about. It's not Dvorim Shabbat. My wife would never go to the hospital. I've told her many times, go to the hospital. I don't go to hospitals. This time I said, go to the hospital. She says, okay, I'll go to the hospital. She went to the hospital and they ran all kinds of tests on her and everything. They said, you know, we have to make stress testing. Next day, I'll make a stress test. Not today, yesterday, they made a stress test. And what did they say? They said that doesn't look good. Today we're going to do a catheterization. You're going through a vein, and they check your heart, and they fix, and they maybe put a stent in, they open the blockages. So this morning, for the last 2 nights, I slept in the hospital. My wife asked me, I woke up at 5:30, and she said, are you going? I said, only if you let me. My place is here with you. I said, I know you really want to go. I said, what do we really want to go? What I want to do is nothing. I said, if Hashem wants me to go, I'm going to go. If Hashem does want me to go, I won't go. He said, what's going to be with me? So let me tell you something. You know how I love doctors. I love proving them wrong. That's what I love. I said, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. They didn't find anything. They drained a cup. You look healthy. You feel healthy. What the episode was of the pain, I don't know. But some technician, some doctor runs around the what's your cold room, taking x-ray, taking a stress test, tells you don't feel good. Your doctor didn't tell you anything. Now she's trying to get a hold of her doctor. And for some reason, the doctor is not getting contacted. So I told my wife, Vayisachos Hashem is not letting the communication get through to the doctor. Don't rely on the doctor. I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. So I said, can I go? She said, if you tell me there's nothing wrong with me and everything is going to be all right, you can go. Thank you very much. Zeit ist. I left. I won't say I didn't have any trepidation on the flight down here. Got off the flight. First thing I did was call my wife. My wife doesn't answer the phone on her cell phone. And I'm trying to get a hold of my daughter. Came from Lakewood to be with her last night. I did this today. And I finally she called him back. I said, you're calling from the house. So I came home right away. Mistake, a mistake. I said, what do you mean? I said, the doctor finally came here. Doctor said the whole thing was unnecessary. I saw your results of your stress test. It was 100% good. You didn't need any catheterization. But you had it, Baruch Hashem. You can go home right now. Talk to the home and ask him. The idea is never, ever to lose your menuchas and nefesh. That was the whole story. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but I said, Hashem, I know I'm in good hands. I felt I'm in good hands. And I felt that Baruch Hashem, everything's going to be fine. That's what most people just lose their equilibrium. Baruch Hashem, my wife, already, after many years, she finally trusts me. It took her many years. But she finally trusts me. She says, okay, if you say it's going to be good, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go. I said, it's never going to hurt you, even if I make a mistake. Not gonna hurt you. I said, you got some mitzvahs of emunah and bitachon. That's not bad to have on your belt. But a person has to know that that is what it is. You can't get in a pickle. I'll tell you a story. A fellow calls me. Now, there's a number of areas where people struggle. Parnosa is probably the biggest area. Everybody. There's nobody doesn't have a problem with bills. Nobody doesn't have a problem with payments. Nobody whose bills aren't too high. And I haven't met a person who has become relaxed in his approach to his bills. Sadly, I used to be that type of person when I first got married. I used to have very big chalish shadas when I saw how much my wife used to spend a month. I used to say, we don't make that kind of money. How are you spending it? She said, obviously Hashem gives it to us. Yeah, I'm not buying daiquiris. I'm not going for smoothies. I'm buying what we need. Does Hashem not give you what you need? I said, you believe that? I believe that. I said, if you believe that. But and every month, I used to make the chishbon. Don't make no chishbon. I'll do the math. You just pay the checks. That's what I do. And I remember going through this back and forth, thinking to myself, I mean, this got to be crazy. And then I asked other people. And everybody sang the same Zemiris. They all sang the same, this nigga. My wife, what could I do? She doesn't understand. She buys all the food. I said, food's not free. My wife tells me, clothes are not free. Till I finally came to the awareness, I'm letting go. And I said, Hashem, HaKoyl B'yotcha. Hineni B'yotcha, I'm Hashem, I'm yours. And I let go. I don't look at the bills. I don't look at the credit cards. Just last month, the thing was sitting on the counter. I looked at it. I said, we used to have 12 kids. Now we don't have 12 kids. And what are we still buying for? I said, for the grandkids. I said, oh, okay. You have a good minute. You don't look at the bills. Don't look at the bills. Okay, right? But that's how people are. People are always eaten up by the costs and the things. They don't believe that Hashem actually gives them the money. Now you look back in your life, did you ever have a time where you didn't have a home? I can understand the person that was homeless should be worried. You never had a day in your life that you didn't have a home. You never had a day in your life that you didn't have meals at your table. You never had a day in your life you didn't have warmth and water coming through your faucets, unless they froze. And even that's bitachon you have to have. A couple of weeks ago, back in the woods where we live, they had these freezing 40 below with the windshield factor. They made this big thing, keep your water open. I'm telling you, keep your water open. It's going to freeze. Your pipes are going to freeze. My pipes froze. My wife said, why don't you leave the water? I said, I forget. Hashem arranged, I forget. She said, what does that mean? You know what it means? Hashem wants me to have bitach. That's what it means. I didn't do bitafka. I wasn't acting responsible. I forgot about it. So I left it out. I left it closed. I said, next time I'll be misakin. I said, HaKadosh Baruch, it wasn't my pshia. I'm sorry. I don't believe just because the radio says all day long, your pipes are going to freeze, they're going to crack. Hashem, it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. It's narishkeit. Lo and behold, took about a day. And then the water started running. All the water ran. And it's still running, Baruch Hashem. A A person has to understand you can't lose yourself. People in my yeshiva who are more nervous for me than I was. I told me, trying to make me nervous. I said, I'm telling you, it's going to work out. Hashem gave me water all my life. You think now he's stopping to give me water? Is he going to make me dig wells over here? I mean, that's, what are you trying to suggest? There was cold before too. Hashem took care of me all my life. And you have to constantly make that cheshbon ha-nefesh over and over to realize that there's not a spot in your life where Hashem is not about. Now, one of the big areas that many people don't focus on is in the area of shalom bayis. In the areas of marital getting along with each other, that's a very big area of bitachon. And most people don't realize it. I remember there was a fellow who became from, got married. His wife was emotional basket case. She was certified by psychiatrist, by therapist. They described her as a garbage can with 1,000 holes. And as much water as you're going to put in, that's what's going to flow. There's no way to keep this person on an even keel. So I told the guy, I said, should I get divorced? I said, no, of course not. I said, what is she asking for me? Let's analyze. Hashem is the one who gave you this wife. Hashem knew exactly everything this wife was going to ask you. So let's analyze what she's asking you. Maybe we could understand it. She would ask him 5 times a day, do you love me? After the second time, he would say, no. After the third time, he would say, I hate you. And then she would start to scream and kvitch, am I fat? Am I skinny? Am I pretty? I said, what do you care to say? Of course. Of course. I said, every time you say that, you're doing your chesed. Yes, it's not rational, what your behavior. And the therapist explained to her, the doctor explained to her, it's not normal. But that's the fact of the matter. Why don't you try? I said, I know you. You're a person that needs to do chesed. You're struggling with chesed. There's no question about it. Let me tell my dear Talmud, that is your kuda haturfa, but that's where your weakness is. So why don't you try to do this? She said, okay, I'm going to play a game, Rebbe tells me. Okay, let's play the game. So what does she do? He starts to say, yes, 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 pretty, I love you, yes, yes. And she didn't make any crazier demands. It was the same 5 questions all the time. One day goes by, shalom. 2 days go by, a month goes by, shalom. Now this house was on wheels. This was rocking, our house was rocking all of it. And now it was Pasha Mishalom. It went for 6 weeks. I told my Talmud, I want to thank you so your wife doesn't call me up screaming. And I appreciate it so much that I'm getting some nuchas nefesh in my life. And I appreciate it. Keep it up. After 6 weeks, my phone rings. I pick it up and I hear her. And she's screaming at the top of my lungs. I said, what happened? He said, he told me he doesn't love me. He told me I'm fat. I said, you're not fat. I said, what do you have to ask me questions that are simple? I have to hear from my husband. Okay? I call the guy up. And I said to the guy, are you a tippish? Are you a fool? Tell me, you had peace in your life for 6 weeks, and I had peace in my life for 6 weeks. I said, why in the world wouldn't you just say yes? He said, Rebbe, everything has its limits. I just can't play this game. I said, you're becoming a Baal Chesed. You're becoming a Baal Chesed. I couldn't get through his head. A tippish, I told him, you're chamor ben chamor. I said, I never heard such a thing in my life. But that's how people are. People get so upset, they don't want to change. They don't like to be forced to change. They don't want to acknowledge the emes. I said, this is your shayrish. This is your problem. I had a story. I was makar of something. There was a doctor who was the head of the Rainbow Babies and Children Hospital, of University Hospital in Cleveland. Very big hospital. Very famous husband. And this doctor got married to a fine young lawyer. But she insists her mother was a Rebbetzin in Texas. And a Reform Rebbetzin. So, in Texas, even the Reform don't know nothing. They know less than Reform in the East Coast. But Akoponim, she wanted to have kosher style in the house. That's what she made her. Kosher style. So he said, why? He said, that's what a Jewish home has to have. The team, it made no sense. We're fighting, fighting, got married. They made up that he's going to learn about it. He's going to go to learn about it. If it makes sense to him, he will accept it. If not, she has to accept his rejection. And then one day he's in the elevator in a federal court building, and he sees a guy with a yarmulke, and he's a very tall guy, he's like 6'6". He taps him on the head. He said, excuse me, what are you? He said, I'm a lawyer. He said, you look religious. He said, I got to know something about kosher. He said, oh, you're interested in kosher? He said, I didn't say that. I'm not interested in kosher, but I want to know about it. Could you hook me up with somebody? Sure. The guy calls me up. Next thing you know, we're sitting at the table at the kollel, and the guy's coming to me and saying, I want to hear about kosher. I said, do you have any interest in Judaism? He said, none whatsoever. Don't bring it up once. I'm walking out the door. I said, can I ask a strange why you want to learn about kosher? This is a family thing. I told my wife I would do this. I said, does your wife want to keep kosher? No. Why don't you keep kosher style? That's all. So I'm looking around. I said, well, how do I start with this guy? So I look at the table. It's all like Baruch Hashem Sforim on the table usually. I'm looking around. Let's see if I'm going to start with him. He said, just give me the diet. I look at the book. I said, you know what Bashert is? He says, no. I said, let me tell you what Bashert is. Bashert is like fate. Someday you're in the right place, the right time. You say, bam. You know it's just like someone orchestrated from above. You know it wasn't an accident. I said, on this table, this is the book of Kashrut. He said, really? What's it called? It's called Mesilat Yesharim. Half of the just. I said to him, if you've ever seen a diet book, you know one thing about diet books. They're all fat books. But you think it's thousands of recipes in there. Usually at the end of the book, the last 4 or 5 pages have some recipes. The first 500 pages, the guy is telling you, first of all, why everybody else's shita is wrong. And then he's telling you why his shita is right. And if you do his shita, you're going to live for the next 1,000 years. And at the end, he says, his recipes, if you want more recipes, send me $29.95 plus handling shipping, and I'll send you another 5 pages of my silly recipes. So I told him, understand, until we get to the kashrus, it's going to take time. The whole thing about a diet, it's based on hashkaf. It's based on a process. No, just diet, just don't eat, don't eat, yes, eat. So I hear that. So I said, the first few weeks, we're not going to discussing the actual diet, discussing what's behind the diet. We started. After 9 weeks of coming once a week, and a very bright fellow, extremely bright fellow, he asked me some of the best questions I heard him since Yisharim, and I used to call my grandfather afterwards to ask, I said, I'll get back to you. He called my grandfather, Baruch Hashem, he was alive then, and he'd give me the answers, and I would pass them on to him. After 9 weeks, he says to me, Rabbi, let me ask you a question. If I wanted to start somewhere, what do you think would be a first step? I said, in what? He said, what mitzvah would I pick up? What would I start with? I said, oh boy, I said, now you're changing the deal. You're a lawyer, I said, you're breaking the contract. I said, our contract is no mitzvahs, no religion. This is just about kashrut. Get that straight, stay focused. Want to renegotiate the contract? Make an appointment, see in my office, we'll discuss it. But right now, let's go right. Come back next week. He said, Rabbi, I want to renegotiate. I want to start somewhere. I said, are you sure? You understand? It was you, not me. You asked me to start somewhere. I said, yes, I did. And I want to start somewhere. And he did. And he began to embark on a career of becoming from. Now, his wife blew a gasket. She hated me like I can't tell you. Get out. Every time I called the house, get out of my life. I want to look over the car and say hello there. Get away from my car. I said, okay. Not a friend of mine. Okay, good. I said, what did I do wrong? She said, you brainwashed. I said, your husband's brilliant. He graduated top out of 800 students in law school. You think I can brainwash him? I said, I didn't brainwash him. I educated him. I said, you didn't know anything about kashrut. You were the one who started all this trouble. If you would have kept your mouth quiet and said, forget about it. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. You wouldn't have been happily ever after. But it didn't happen like that. I said, and they had made a pact before they got married. No children. Because she was, the head of the whole baby, 25,000 patients, she said she's in charge of, so she can't have kids. I said to the lady, it seems after a few months, we're already talking a little bit. I said, by the way, regarding that contract of yours, when I get finished with you, you're not going to know the difference between you and a chicken. You're going to be plopping those eggs out, coming out. You're going to become a baby machine. And she said, oh, don't you dare break that contract. I said, now, I called my grandfather, and as he started becoming frum, they didn't live in a frum neighborhood. He had to walk like 4 miles to shul on Shabbos. She started working on Shabbos. They just got married. It was very uncomfortable. So I called my grandfather. Every step of the way, I asked him what to tell him. What can't I tell him? I tell my Tarsim Shpacha, do I not tell him? Do I this? Tell me one rule. This is his challenge. It's not hers. He has to become frum on his own. His wife, he can't make his wife do anything. His wife does not, there's no forcing your wife to do it. If he follows this rule and behaves like a good husband and doesn't resent her because she's not accepting what his newfound religion. So if he'll do it, you can tell him in 2.5 years, his wife is going to cover her hair. I said, David, you mean that? Of course I mean that. I don't say things I don't mean. So I went back and told the guy, remember the guy's laugh? He has like a very deep laugh. He gives a laugh. I said, don't laugh. I said, don't laugh. My grandfather doesn't say anything like that. And then what? Continued on and on and on. 2.5 years later, she was ready to get married. They got remarried. This time kosher, first time reformed. Now it's going to be Orthodox wedding. And she decided to surprise him. She didn't tell him. She decided she's going to buy a shekel. And she arranged the shekel. They got married Thursday night. Sunday morning, she called my wife and said, how do you deal with the shekel in the shower? The shekel is a total wreck. Every time I take a shower, it's like totally gone. So my wife said, what do you mean? She said, wife, are you going to take it off? She said, no. I heard you put it on, you don't take it off anymore. My wife said, no, that's not how it works. My wife said, oh, boy. I said, I called her, I said, you know, you're a tzaddikus. You're a super tzaddikus. When you put that shekel on Thursday night, you thought you're going to wear it for the rest of your life? And I asked my grandfather, what's the pshat? How did he say that? He said, it's all a challenge from Hashem. Hashem was wanting to see if this fellow understood it wasn't his wife, it was Hashem. And Hashem was squeezing him. Hashem was pulling him. Hashem was pushing him. Does he run away? Does he not run away? Does he give up? Does he get angry? Does he get frustrated? Does he get upset at his wife? Upset at Hashem? Upset at from Yidden where he lives? Don't, 1,000 things you can get upset at. You got to understand, you can't. There's nothing that happens not from Hashem. That's where you have to have the bitachon. That's where you have to have the menuchas and nefesh. And a person has to, the menuchas and nefesh becomes no one. If a guy, imagine some guy comes and just rams his car into your car. You would get all blustered up. Who knows what would come out of your mouth? It was from Hashem. It wasn't that guy. That guy can't touch you if Hashem didn't decide that this is what's going to happen to you. You gotta take it cool. You don't accept this from Hashem, it's gonna happen again. It won't happen twice. I'll tell you a little story of myself. When I first got married, I came into marriage with very rosy glasses. I thought, now I came from a family of 10 children. My family didn't believe in spoiling anybody. They believed in limited philanthropy, let's put it like that. 10 cents was after months of being maybe 12 and trying to get allowance. 10 cents was maybe, you know, great. But you can't mind up 10 cents. So I had to get some job, get some money, this and that. But whatever it was, that my house, I said, I'm going to get married. I'm finally going to be the king in my house. Now, the one thing, I was in Brisk for many years, so over there, you take care of yourself, you cook for yourself. In those days, they didn't provide any cooking facilities. So I was so I was used to cooking for myself. I didn't mind making eggs for myself. My wife tells me, She wants to make me eggs. I said, take care of whatever you have to take care of. I'll make the eggs. I don't care. No, I insist. I want to make your eggs. Okay. She said, what kind of eggs is your favorite eggs? I said, my favorite. She said, everybody has a favorite egg. What's your favorite egg? I said, my mother on a special occasion would make sunny side up. They call them bullseyes. And the mother made them perfectly. It's hard to make. We had 10 kids. So we didn't make them too often. And you got yourself your bullseyes and you were mamish and gangani. The kids said to my wife, I like bullseyes. So my wife said, I like bullseyes. I'm going to make you a purple. I said, just do one thing. Don't bust the yellow. Don't bust the yellow. Because if you bust the yellow, it's not worth it. It's Yotzah's Charim. I'm saying that. I have no gain. It's not worth it. It's not, I don't need eggs. Don't worry about it. Boom, bash. Okay. I said, what's going on? My wife says, let me try again. And I'm going to tell you, my wife is a master chef. She's tichtig. She can do what 20 people can do, she can do. She's very, very talented. And tried again. She said, what happened? Okay, good. The wife said, I'm going out today. Would you like me to take stuff to the cleaners for you? I said, you don't have to bother. I don't mind doing it myself. No, no, I'm going out. I'm happy to do it for you. So you sure? You don't have to do it for me? Yes, I'm sure. I want to do it for you. Okay. Look, comes Friday. Wifey, did you ever pick the clothes up from the cleaners? Oh, I forgot to bring them to the cleaners. Ay, vase me. Now, I had not worked on myself in those days. So I got a little ticked. Because from then on, I said, don't ask me to do for me anything. Please, I take care of myself. And this, I'm going to take it. Don't bother me. Whatever she asked me, never got it right. And I'm telling you, it was crazy. It was shalik in derech adam. I called my grandfather. I was feeling so perturbed. I called my grandfather. I said, Zayda, I'm having a problem. I told him these examples. He didn't laugh at all. Very serious man. Couldn't get him to laugh for nothing. The teretz is poshut. The answer is simple. She has no bechira. She has no free will. Hashem removes her free will when you say what you want. I said, why would he do that? You want to know why? He's training you. Hashem is putting you through boot camp. And he wants you to be trained that your will means nothing at all. Gol nisht mit nisht. Zero. So you think, here's a person who wants to serve you, who wants to take care of you, and she's testing. She's capable, beyond capable. And she can make it for 50 other people perfect eggs. And never forgets a thing. When it comes to you, Hashem says, because you want it, you're not in charge. He said, HaKoyl Bidei Shemayim. Every single thing is from Hashem. And Hashem is training you. And if you start to recognize this, and you start to realize this, you will start to grow. He said, marriage is the greatest school of growth that exists. Because you have two people, ain't they saying shavuos. And even if sometimes you have a wife who clearly doesn't want to do what the husband wants, or the wife, husband doesn't want to do what the wife wants, and sometimes you have a wife that wants to do what the husband wants, and Hashem doesn't want her to do what the husband wants, and you end up both in the same place. It's a tumult. You both get all excited. And a person has to realize, the second, you have to have emunah, and you have to be b'teach, that Hashem is doing it for you, for your best. I want to tell you a story. Two stories. We'll end off with those. 3 years ago, I received a call from a lady. She said, I said, where are you calling from? I'm calling from Sloan Hospital. I said, who do you have there? I have my daughter. How old's your daughter? 11 and a half. I said, what's wrong with your daughter? She's been in the hospital now for 7 months. 7 months. She's in a very life and death situation. This coming Monday, they want to remove her colon. She goes to the bathroom 25 times a day, and every time it's Yisurim. I told you, you know, the Gemara says that Rebbe went to the bathroom and he gave had such Yisurim, the whole city could hear when he went to the bathroom. She, that's how my daughter exists. She can't eat. She doesn't eat. She's green. She's so sick. Her life is hanging by threads. I says, why are you calling me? You think I'm a doctor? She said, no, but somebody told me to call you. I said, 11 and a half years old. She's, I'm telling you, she's a very special girl. I don't know what it was, but whatever the lady said to me, it touched my heart in the most amazing way. And I said to the lady, first, I want you to get a little faith in Hashem. I asked her how firm you are, how not firm you are. They were firm, but they weren't real firm. And I said, your house, do you have TVs, technology? Yeah, we have everything. And I said, your husband learn? He said, he goes to classes, but, you know, basic, minimal, superficial Yiddish guy. So I said, give it some thought. I would like to take this case on, and I'd like to try to move Shemayim V'aretz to see what we can do. So first I spoke to my Talmidim. I told them all about the story. I said, I want everybody to Mekabel to do something, change something in your life, and that's chus, Hashem will change her destiny. Then I called the mother up, and I said, you wear skirts? She said, yes. I said, you had cover? Yeah. So, but I saw it was still superficial, but I couldn't tell her on the phone at that time to make major changes. So what I said to her at that time was, I'm going to give her some thought and get back to you. Then I contacted Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, and I distributed a few $1,000 for the benefit of this girl. I told him, we need some strong tefillahs here. Thursday night, they called me on Tuesday. Thursday night, I called the hospital, 11:45, and the mother answered the phone. And I said, is your daughter up? She said, no, she's sleeping. I said, wake her up. Wake her up, wash her negavasa. I want to talk to her. She got on the phone, and I said to her, are you ready to do something for Hashem, to connect with Hashem over this issue? She said, yes. Said, I want you to become an ambassador for Hashem, for Asher Yatzar. I said, I want you to say Asher Yatzar from today on with a card. Never say it by heart. Never say it. If somebody's around, you must say it to somebody else. And you have to think, I'm doing this for my schus, Hashem, because if they remove your colon, you can't go to the bathroom anymore. You go in a bag. And it's very unpleasant. And I spoke to this Rosh, I'm a Kabbal 100%, and I told the parents to Kabbal the same thing. The next morning, we went and got a card from the bookstore, Ashiyotza cards, and they, Sunday I called her up, I said, no, anything news? No change. She said, Rebbe, Monday morning is the surgery. I said, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. She said, it's life and death. I said, I understand you. Once you do it a surgery, it can never be undone. I said, it's a one-way trip. I said, hang on to the last second. Monday morning, the lady calls me again, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I hear her talking to us, who's this? The doctor's here. She wants to take the girl to prep her for the surgery. I said, listen, you can do what you want. I can't stop you. You don't know me. I don't know you. I'm staying with my daughter. I said, I have friends who went through that surgery, and it's not geschmack, for lack of a better word. So I said, you don't think you want to try this? I said, wait another day. The doctor said, you don't do the surgery, out of the hospital. Out of the hospital. And they threw her out of the hospital. She went home. I said, don't do it, because I'm telling you, you got to believe in Hashem. I said, she went home that day. I called that night. I said, how did the day go? She said, Rod, you're not going to believe this. Today, she went to the bathroom 4 times. And it was nothing remotely the pain of what she experienced in the hospital. So, it's starting to work. I said, next day, I called her again. How's today? Did she eat? Tell the courage to eat. She ate. By the next Monday, she was back in school. She had been in school 7 months. She was back in school the next Monday. The end of that week, they had an appointment with the doctor. It was near Rosh Hashanah. Doctor said, there's no to talk about, the girl must have the surgery. Colons do not heal. They do not get better. The colon, the kishke, that's what colon is, the ganze kishke is fafolt. It's not to talk about. It doesn't come back. There's no medicine, no regeneration. It gives steroids in the beginning, a little bit, the percentages. But what this degree is, forget it. But the mother said, look, my child went out of the house. She got getting better. Enigma. She knows it. Doctor knows English, profession. Okay? Enigma. Kitzer, it went on like this and on like this for maybe a month and a half, 2 months. Finally, the doctor said, we have to do the surgery. So the girl was getting better. It was a one-day setback, but net one day, and it got back to each other. Finally, said, the biggest doctor of this thing for children is in Connecticut. Send him all the x-rays, send him all the records. Go have a consultation with him. I said, okay. I told the parents, make sure you take the daughter. They told me I have to bring the child. He's going to just read the records and give him his opinion based on what he sees. I said, take the daughter with you. So the daughter goes along. The guy walks into the doctor. The doctor said, what did you waste your time for? What did you come here for? There's nothing to talk about. What's the second consultation? There's no Shiloh, there's no Suffolk Bechlau. You had to do the surgery a month ago, 2 months ago. Oh, by the way, who's this? It's our daughter. Oh, you have another daughter? Oh, very nice. No, this is the daughter. He starts to talk to her for about 5 minutes. He said, this can't be the daughter. He starts to look at the paper. He holds him up like this again. This is your daughter. How do you feel? I feel wonderful. What do? You go to school? Go to school, I do this, I do that. Something strange here. This can't be the records of this person. I'm not sure what to do. We need more extensive. If this is this person's thing, there's no stuff. So I told him, Do you see what Hashem said? But the father, the Maisa, didn't have the strength to hang in there. I told him, Hashem made a miracle for you. Hashem showed you a nest, Niflo. What are you doing? You're going to cut your daughter's colon out. You're sugar. She's not growing fast. I said, she's growing. She just went through a psychotic, the first thing of 7 months. She'll grow another month. See, Hashem can make it grow. Anyway, they finally got sat down with a surgeon, doctor, mother and the father, and the girl. And the surgeon is telling the mother the protocol. They make first surgery number one, then surgery number two. There's a three-part surgery, explains the whole situation, how it goes. And meanwhile, her real doctor is talking to her the whole time. And all of a sudden, the real doctor says, forget it. We're not doing surgery. We have to wait a little bit. I think we wait a little bit. And I told the father beforehand, I'm davening that your doctor should change her mind. Because I say, you can't change your mind. Mm-hmm. I can't get you to believe in me. I'm going to get your doctor to believe in Hashem. Maybe your doctor will just... And the doctor said this. 3 weeks ago, I was in New York for Shabbos. We made a Shabbos of Hidah. It's 3 years now. The girl is 100% better. Beautiful girl, almost 15 years old now. And not a trace, not a medication, not a diet, nothing. I told the father. Now, since then, I want to take, the father changed his life. The father changed his life. He became a Torah learning machine. They got rid of every TV that they had in the house. Then he calls me up with a shayla that they still have a house and deal, and they have a TV. They only go there in the summer. Could they remove this TV now? Or could they wait till the summer? That's it. If you don't go there, I think you can wait till the summer. Calls me a few weeks later. He said there was a break-in in my house in Deal. A break-in. I said, what did they steal? The only thing they stole was the TV. He said, not only they took it out with the screws. Usually they rip it out of the wall. They destroyed the place. They took it out professionally. Hashem saved me the money to go out, guy or guy, take it out. They became B'nai Torah. They changed the children's school. The kids learn now in a top school. His oldest daughter from this story is right now, as we speak, in BJJ. Whoever I told, they said, what? I don't believe she even got into BJJ. I said, she's in BJJ, the real BJJ, and she's amazing. And she's marrying a B'nai Torah, and the family became from amazing. And I spoke at the Shabbos, of course, and I said to the family, you think this was the most challenging episode in your life? It was the greatest episode in your life. Now, had you not changed your life, had you not made a mapecha and responded to Hashem and accepted the direction I was pushing you, you could have said, no, Rabbi, you're pushing me too much. I don't mind giving the charity here, but you're getting a little pushy here. I got to change my whole life, to my kids' school. I got to get rid of all my TVs. This guy said he was a sports fanatic. I told the guy, if I ever hear sports coming out of your mouth, I'm telling you, you're going to be a fool. I said, I don't want to hear it. He used to bring the shul. He's a tzaddik. He used to bring the shul tickets, football tickets, every week, and he would raffle them off and give the money to the young like in the shul. I told him, you think you're a big tzaddik? You're a fool. I told him, they're tippish. You think Hashem wants you to bring football tickets to a shul? That's what Hashem wants in the shul, football tickets. That's what you think? I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to get it. Today, if a guy would say to him, football, he'd say, what? I don't know what you're talking about. He would say, I don't know what you're talking about. He became such a Ben Torah. He's the happiest he's ever been in his life. I told him, this is what happens. Most people, they suffer a challenge and they don't respond to it. They have no moon to be talking. All they're trying to do is when they run to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, or run to some Sidi Shirev, or run to some Kubel, who lives in Morocco, who's buried in Morocco from 200 years ago. Or some child in Long Island, maybe. So who knows where they go, they're running. Get me out of this situation. I'll give tzedakah, I'll pay charity. I want to buy myself, can I get out of jail free card? Let's play Monopoly. You can't play Monopoly with Hashem. Hashem is doing something for your benefit. You got to respond. That's where the bitachon is. When your wife starts up with you, that's clearly bitachon. A guy called me this week, a wife called me this week, as a matter of fact. The wife called me, she's Rabbi Brock, beat me up. I said, what? She said, scream at me. I'm being a very bad wife. My husband's not giving parnasa. He's trying hard. And I know it's not his fault. I'm getting angry at him. I'm screaming at him. He's crying. I said, why are you doing that for? She said, I don't know. I said, but if you know the emes by now, she said, I learned from you the emes. I know the emes, but I can't control myself. I said, Hashem's talking to the guy. Hashem's talking to the guy to push him to get more emunah, more bitachin, get closer to Hashem. That's all Hashem wants from us. Respond in kind. Let me tell you another story. Here's a fellow, calls me up, 54-year-old fellow. This happened, this shook us. He calls me up and he says to me, I can't hear what he's talking about because he's crying away. I asked him how old he was. He says, 54. I said, why are you crying? So he said, I'll hear what happened. He says, my life is over. I said, life is over. Me and my cousin inherited a business from our fathers. Sadly, our fathers were the biggest gangsters and crooks around. They stole from customs. They stole from the IRS. They stole from the warehouse guy. They had bank fraud. There was not one area of fraud or criminal activity you can do that they didn't do. But what did the Chutzafim do? They took their name off the business and they put the whole business on their children's name. On their children, they said, look what we're giving you. What a tzaddikin. And for years, they thought they were tzaddikin. They put the wives on it, the kids on it, the whole mishpacha. One day, the federal authorities came with some kashas. They opened up a file on them. So they went running to the big attorney. Attorney tells them, $100,000 retained to start with. And I'm being kind to you. This is going to go on for years. What do you see the results? He studied the case. He tells them, you're going to go to prison. Your cousin's going to go to prison. Your both wives are going to go to prison. And most of your kids go to prison. Any hope? No hope. You got every crime on the book here. Not one thing you did right. He said, well, we didn't do it. Yeah, but your nice parents put it all on your name. The guy was crying. I'm telling you, baby. I said to the guy, listen. I said, you need some serious help. I mean, this is, you're telling me. I said, are you ready to make some real serious changes in your life? I said, you want Hashem to change a course of action. Are you ready to change the course of your life? He says, what do you mean? I said, are you from? Of course I'm from. I'm religious, 100%. I go to a synagogue, I pray. I said, the fact that you even say those words, I pray in synagogue, tells me how religious you are, you understand? So act me a Chinese ghetto. You don't learn serious. You don't daven serious. You don't talk to Hashem. You go through the moves, and it's very nice. I commend you for that. But you're not the real thing. You're not in the game, my friend. You know what I mean? I said, why don't you become in the game? I said, if you're a Makabal to change your life from top to bottom, I'm telling you, Hashem's going to change your decree. But you got to make a serious change. The guy made such a serious change. He had two sons who worked in the business, who wanted to be in yeshiva, really. They were young life. But the father, the grandfather, said that if they ever go to yeshiva, he's cutting them out of his business and his will, not getting a penny. So they were working in the business. The father told the kids, go back to yeshiva. You go back. You kept one son there. The other two said, go back to yeshiva. Forget about it. On the spot. I told the guy, next thing it's going to cost you $50,000. Down payment. I said, I'm going to take $50,000 from you. I'm going to give $5,000 to 10 special Talmidei Chacham. We're going to change their life. These $5,000, these scholars, is going to make a difference. They're going to think they won the lottery. And they're going to learn for you. And they're going to daven for you. And you change people's lives, there's no chance that Hashem's not going to change your life. He was maskim on the spot. He said, when do you want the second 50? I said, I want to see some results first. You change. Let's see the changes. Now, this was Erev Shabbos and the Chol HaMoed Sukkos when he called me. And Motzoi Shabbos, I called Eretz Yisrael, I got it in place. He got 10 Talmidei Chachamim, and they're off to the races. And this guy's kind of making some major change in his life. So I want to see a Seder every day. I want to have goals. You know what you're learning. You're going to get it. You're going to steig. I'm really steig. And then Motzoi Simchas Torah, there was a message on his machine. We assessed you $12,000 for this month and for the two prior months, and we're dropping the case. Now, his lawyer said, when the federal feds open up a file on you, it takes years to close it. It never closes on the spot. I said, it never calls me again. He's crying again. I said, you should be happy. He said, these are tears of happiness. I said, you responded. You responded to Hashem. That's what you did. You made a change. And you changed other people's life. What do you think? Hashem doesn't work midah keneged midah. How could it be? That's not rational. Does it make any sense? But maybe not. Would you think your mother would be like that? Most people don't respond to Hashem. When Hashem comes calling, you know what they say? Okay, I'll go out and check out for tzedakah. Hopefully Hashem will go away from me. That's not bothering. Hashem wants to see you change. Hashem wants to see you really get involved in making me understand. I'm trying to bring you close. That's what to be talking about. You got to trust that. It's not losing your mind, thinking where I'm going to, run out of the country. It's not even talk silly. Nowhere to run. Unless you want to run to Panama, but you're not going to help with it. I thought that's the name of the game. And Baruch Hashem, it's been months now. The guy's talking, steiging away. And Baruch Hashem, you got to understand this is what life's about. The Iker HaKoil, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar writes it, Rabbi Yehuda writes it, the Vilna Gaon writes it, the Aleph, the basis upon which all things happen in your life, without bitachim, it's not going to work. You never get through without bitachim. You have to train yourself in bitachim. You have to be the teach that Hashem is working with you and doing for you, and He's going to make everything happen for you perfect. That's what you got to believe. You got to accept that. Go with it every year of your life. Your car breaks down. You get angry with your wife when she didn't bring it in for an oil change. You're tippish. What are you, an ox? You know, my grandfather used to say once, he was standing on Ocean Parkway, and he sees a younger man in the middle of rush hour. His car stopped by the red light, and he can't get it going. My grandfather was standing there by the street to cross the street, And Engelman gets out of his car. He opens up the hood. He starts to kick the car. My grandfather was looking at him and said, and so I was thinking, you Bilam what you are. You're Bilam. He said, Bilam didn't have a precedent. You learned the story of Bilam in yeshiva. Younger man with a beard and a black hat. Why are you acting like a chamor? It's from Hashem. Get the message. Say, Hashem, I know it's from you. And I know you're doing this for my best. Oh, it's the wrong time, people tell me. It's not the right time of the year and season by season. I have so many things going on in my life. I can't deal with this right now. I said, my friend, you're the employee here. You're not the boss. The boss says this is the time to do this. You do this. You say, how high do I jump? That's what you have to ask. But you think you're in charge. You don't believe in Hashem. The person does this in every year of his life, and in Shidduchim, and in children. I get so many calls from the kids. I tell them, you got to trust Hashem. Most people have kids. Why shouldn't you have kids? Just not long ago, a lady called me up. She said, can you speak to my daughter, Israel? She's crying and screaming. So over 3 years, she doesn't have kids. And I can't calm her down. I'm afraid she's losing her mind. I have to give her some Prozac, give her something to calm her down. I said, if she could talk to me on the phone and she'll call me, I'll have a conversation. And the lady called me, the girl called me. She said, just cry and scream. Everybody has kids. My own, my sister, my cousins, my neighbor. I said, are you finished? I said, I want to tell you something. If you cry, I can't help you. I can't help people cry. If you stop crying, then Hashem will help you. When you cry, you show you don't have Hashem in your life. I said, I have 10 daughters. Two of them had fertility challenges. I sat them both down. And I said, listen, there's a Hashem in the world. You probably will have kids. I'll be right. Right people have kids. So I would assume you're going to have kids. The question is when? Hashem wants you to work. You can go through the fertility route. You can go through doctors. It's also going to be Hashem. A lot of people have to go through fertility route and don't have kids. And then you can go through Hashem's route. It's cheaper. It's less invasive. It's more pleasant. And you enjoy your life. One of my daughters chose this way. One of my daughters chose this way. Both of them, after 4 years, had a child. I sat him down again after that. I said, listen, now you see, I told the one who went through all this sorrows with the Hakachani, with the money, with the, I said, your sister had one. She enjoyed her life. You didn't. Well, she's younger than me. I said, it's not that much younger than you. I said, why don't you relax? You could do the same thing again. Why don't you try going her malach? It's a lot cheaper and a lot easier. I like to do it my way. Fine. 1 year later, they both had a kid. One natural. And one with fertility again. Clap your cup and van, like they say in Yiddish. You want to bang it on the wall? Go ahead. You want to get close to Hashem? But you have to take Hashem into the... There's no instant miracles. But you got to make it inside. You got to develop yourself. You got to grow with it. And if you grow with it, you become betech b'Hashem. The immediate goal is, first, you strengthen your emunah. Second, you have menuchas and nefesh and shalvas sagul. And there are no ro'is in your life. There's no evil experiences in your life. Because everything is from Hashem. You understand that. Hashem Baruch Hu should help us be able to mechazik our emunah bitachon and grow properly.